Nice. Hey, Blummer, listen, one of the things that we were just talking about prior to this segment was we were talking a little bit Astros and some rumors going around and, you know, some of the fact that they went out and got Chirinos already. And do you think that this is a team that still, I mean, you've seen some big names come off the board. And is this a team that's still going to hunt for a big splash? Or are they confident that they're not going to overpay, whether it be in prospects or money, just to make a name? Do they feel like that they're set already?
I don't know if they've – I think that they feel like they've got a very good core, and I am – you know, obviously I'm in very much in agreement with that fact. I think, you know, with Correa, Altuve, Springer up the middle, you've got Alex Bregman at third base, your rotation's going to be – is good so far. I mean, you've got Verlander and Gerrit Cole. You can bring McHugh out of the bullpen. Lance McCullers is obviously going to be down. So there's obvious spots where this team could get better if they wanted to. But like you said, in order to get better, you may have to give up a little bit of your talent and sacrifice a little bit of the future for what you want to go out and achieve right now. And I think that they've done a very good job in locating targets that they want to go out and get if the price is right. And that, or maybe there's some targets out there that they're willing to pay a little bit more for to get in return. JT Realmuto, the catcher from Miami, is a guy that they covet. But I'm not sure that Miami is going to lower their asking price. But I think that there are definite targets out there as far as starting pitching. The Arizona Diamondbacks are interesting to me just because with them letting go of Paul Goldschmidt, it kind of opens the possibility of a guy like a Zach Greinke being available who might be out there. But, you know, last year at this time, we had no idea Gerrit Cole was on the radar. He shows up and turns into maybe 1B as far as the Astros' rotation. So maybe they've got something like that lined up for this offseason too.
Now, you mentioned a lot of names, and we've kicked around a lot around here too, but we're also talking about the fact that another team that looks to be fire sailing, like the Mariners, mm-hmm. and maybe the Diamondbacks, are the Indians. We know that Carrasco just re-upped. He's probably not going anywhere. So that becomes a two-pitcher race for who's available. Corey Kluber, which I guess there's no problems with, but I threw it out there and even did a video for sportsmap.com. Would the Astros be okay if Trevor Bauer was targeted, and would the likes of a Gerrit Cole and an Alex Bregman be able to get over it? Because we know Bregman is also all about social media with this guy, but let's be real. He's been critical of the Astros, the spin rate, the cheating that he thinks is going on, and the fact that as college teammates, he and Gerrit Cole weren't exactly best friends, and you got Cole coming up in a year. Would the Astros be willing to even consider that?
Oh, my, absolutely. And only for the reason that I think that their emphasis is more on analytics. And Tyler Bauer is a guy who fits into the analytics. He believes in the analytics. And I think he also understands that the Astros would be maybe a little more conducive to his different style of going out and getting ready to pitch. But that being said, they also do put a little bit of emphasis on what's going on in the clubhouse. For me personally, I think that Alex Bregman and Tyler Bauer, if you put them in the same room, they'd be able to work it out.
Mm-hmm.
But you bring up an interesting point with Gerrit Cole. That's a history. There's some residual effects there maybe that might be a little bit different in this day and age. But at the same time, when you dangle the carrot of a world championship in front of guys and say, hey, if we play well enough, we will go out and win a world championship. And there's plenty of teams in the history of baseball who have gotten in fights in the clubhouse and beat up on other teams on the field. So that might be something that they're willing to try and fight through.
We were talking about rumors earlier, and there was a post by the Boston Globe, by a reporter from the Boston Globe, that said Jose Abreu might be a guy that the Astros are considering. Thoughts on that as an addition to this team? I know he didn't have a great year last year, but what are your thoughts if they were to pursue somebody like an Abreu?
I'm a big fan of Abreu, and the White Sox are in an interesting spot where they have great young talent where they're trying to maybe get a few key free agents and maybe make a push for a guy like Bryce Harper or Manny Machado. But that being said, Jose Abreu, I would love to see in an Astros uniform just because of the quality of hitter and, you know, the relationship that he might have with a guy like Yuli Gurriel coming out of Cuba. I think these guys are true professional hitters. It would be interesting to me because it would be, you know, would Abreu be your first baseman, and would that push Yuli Gurriel into a DH utility type spot where you could see Yuli playing some third base to give Alex a couple days off, or Yuli at second or short, you know, to give these guys days off? but make him primarily at the age of 30, I think he's at 36 now, make him primarily your DH. But that is an explosive bat in Jose Abreu that would be a phenomenal addition to that lineup.
Now, on your wish list, you talked about starting pitching. We talked a little bit about the fact that, look, they need a little help with a bat or two in the lineup, possibly, maybe for designated hitter, first base catcher, whatever. If you had a wish list, putting together what Luno should look at and do, what would be your top three in terms of guys the Astros should target?
I would like to see him go out and get his starting pitcher. I'm not sure what name to put next to that, but a top-of-the-line rotation, a top-three starter. If they're available out there, I'm not sure who that could be or who they would like to target to bring in, who, you know, because the package coming back would be a little bit of an issue for the Astros. But for me, I am a guy who I love Michael Brantley. I loved watching him with the Cleveland Indians. I know he's a free agent. I love the fact that he would fit nicely into left field with this Astros team because it's not a real defensive position to play 81 games in Minute Maid Park. It's all about positioning. And I think he's serviceable enough to play some defense, but it's the bat. A left-handed bat, a left-handed power bat, a high-contact bat in the middle of that Astros lineup would really lengthen things out and give A.J. Hinch a ton of options to kind of maneuver some of those right-handed power bats that he already has in his lineup. I'm on the Michael Brantley train right now, and if I was in that war room, so to speak, I would be pushing for a guy like that.
It seems like every big name right now, or most of the big names, are coming out of Cleveland. What do you make of the fire sale that's going on over there?
You know what? That's an interesting dynamic for me to understand what they're doing in the American League Central, just because I think they're trying to wait out and see what the White Sox do, who keep threatening to do something major. But that division is terrible. The American League Central is the worst division in all of baseball for me, and I don't see any other teams going out and making the effort to get better. So I don't think that there's really an urgency in the Cleveland Indians organization to go out there and keep some of these guys, if not, you know, try some of their younger talent or trade guys away to get younger talent and try and, you know, kind of keep pace with what the Central is doing. Because I don't feel that the Indians, even if they lose a Kluber or if they lose a Michael Brantley, they're not going to be hurting in that division, because you keep a guy like Lindor, Jose Ramirez, Clevinger, you know, Bauer, and those guys. So it's a bad division all the way around.
Let me ask you this, Blummer, because you've been there as a player. You've seen this league. Where are you on this whole thing about everybody debates, well, you can't give up a prospect because he has potential. And, you know, the top prospects, you got to hang on to those guys because they could be franchise changing. But when you're as close as you are, and obviously the Astros have already tasted the victories of winning a World Series, where do you draw the line, and what's your philosophy on, hey, if you're there and you're in go-for-it mode, it's okay to give up one of your one or two top prospects because you're getting players that can help you now and you need to win now, versus the philosophy of you can't give up any of your top prospects because that's your future?
It's tough because the Astros are in a window right now, and I'm just taking the Astros because I know them best out of baseball. But it would be probably my overall mentality if I was sitting in a room with these guys, is understanding where your ball club is at this given moment. And this given moment, this window that the Astros have opened up by having such supreme talent in comparison to other teams across the league, I would be a little more willing to let go of some of my prospects in the sense that we have a chance to win now. And I think that's what you kind of saw when they brought Justin Verlander over. When they brought Gerrit Cole over, they sacrificed some big league talent that maybe had potential. But with the core group of guys that they have right here and the ability to go out there and score runs, I would like to see, you know, the organization maybe take a chance if they feel that, you know, the catching spot in Real Muto is the guy they want to be able to go out and do that. But in the same token, you've got to be able to keep fans interested in your ball club when this window maybe closes a little bit, and that way you keep the fans engaged is by showing them that you do have a strong talent base in the minor leagues. But again, you guys know as well as I do, covering all sports, there's proven talent in the big leagues and there's potential talent in the minor leagues. You just can't predict the future in professional sports, because once you get to that elite level, at top level, anything goes. You know, you don't know if a guy is going to exceed expectation or if he's going to underachieve. So it's a tough call. But when you have a window the way the Astros do right now, I think it's win now.
But before we let you go, you had mentioned earlier about the Hall of Fame and Harold Baines getting in. Thoughts on that? I mean, he was primarily a DH. I know he played some right field, but thoughts on him going in where you know, towards the stretch, down the stretch of his career, he was primarily a DH. You good with it?
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, you good with him getting in? I know it was the Veterans Committee basically that put him in, but you good?
I'm okay with it. I think it's interesting, and I think it actually opens a door for a lot of guys moving forward, and we actually talked about that a little bit on our podcast today, is that, you know, Harold Baines played for 22 years, 2,800-plus hits, 384 home runs, I believe. But, you know, that number of hits and that number of home runs kind of brings in a lot of other guys. Jeff Kent's in a similar area. Scott Rowland's in a similar area. You know, Lance Berkman had as many or more home runs. So you start to look at other guys, and it kind of opens that picture a little bit to other guys. That's the only concern I have, is if you start considering guys like Harold Baines, who I think was a very good ball player because he was a threat every time he stepped in the box, you've got to start broadening your numbers a little bit, or you got to start broadening your names a little bit to go look at some other guys, because now you've put the bar, not lowered the bar, but you've put the bar at Harold Baines status. There's going to be a lot of guys that are at that bar or above it who probably never got consideration. And the thing about Harold is he only got 6.1% of the votes. That was his high watermark when he was on the Hall of Fame ballot. That's a little worrisome for me.